Welcome to the Brainstorm, episode 96, closing into our final 100th episode, where Dick and I will make the determination whether to continue on or wrap it all up, unless we get enough funny comments. So please comment away. We've got Shay Wilberg with us from our genomics team. Shay's first time joining us. Shay, do you want to give a quick intro?
Sure. So Shay Wilberg, I recently joined here at ARK Invest as a multi-omics analyst on the team. Before this, I was working over on the sell side over at Barclays doing equity research over there. Education-wise, a PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology. So looking forward to it.
Super happy to have you.
All right, Shay. We spoke in Brainstorm. We are excited. Dr. Prasad, as the chief medical and science officer, going to shake things up at the FDA. Now we blink our eyes, 3 weeks later, he's out. What happened? What are the implications? And how are you thinking about it?
Yeah, it's been a dizzying episode over the last few weeks here. We just, as you highlighted, had him come in just a few months ago, and now here he is already out of the FDA. So just to highlight, so the FDA is the regulatory agency that handles drug and biological approvals for things like gene therapies. And so here we had this saga over July here about a gene therapy from a company known as Sarepta Therapeutics that is approved for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. This is a devastating disease, progressive muscle wasting, and unfortunately these patients often have a shorter lifespan and may pass away even as early as in their 20s. So we have a drug here that's approved for this devastating condition, and it was shown that it had two patient deaths in teenage boys. Now, this is a real safety concern, and so it was halted for these older patients that no longer walk, and was still allowed to be sold to patients that are younger that can walk. So what ended up happening here is we found out that there was a third patient death for a different type of muscular dystrophy, and the FDA's response to this was to say, we want you to halt all shipments. So Sarepta responded saying, we're not going to do that. They took the weekend, reconsidered, and posted on Monday that they would halt all shipments. Now, as you can imagine, this caused some backlash. Remember, this is a very devastating condition for these patients. So the Duchenne muscular community, patient advocacy groups were obviously very devastated. Now they're losing this option for something that could potentially halt or even reverse progression for these patients. In the mix of all of this, we're having some potential controversy from a political standpoint. So there are right-wing commentators postulating that he's a saboteur here at the FDA. He's potentially bringing in leftist ideology. And, you know, there's this just this perfect storm, if you will, of all these things with this Sarepta conflict, potential political headwinds here. You know, unclear to say how much, you know, contribution that was. But here we have the FDA's turnaround saying, please continue shipments for these ambulatory or patients that are younger that can walk. Prasad is out the next day. So taking away from this, well, who in the interim will have the acting director for the Department of CIDER. So this is the agency division that handles drug approvals. So he'll be regulating both the drugs and the biologics in this interim period. In terms of the long-term appointment, I think what we can probably expect is that this is still Makary's FDA. So Makary is the FDA commissioner, the head of the FDA, and he's outlined a very clear vision for us on what he wants to do with the FDA, and that's really kind of recalibrate standards here. We want to have more efficient regulatory pathways. It shouldn't have to take potentially 10 plus years to get a drug approval. Then costs are escalating. How can we leverage AI, big data, to make this process more efficient? He's been very vocal about wanting to really improve the FDA and be an ally with the industry and getting these very important drugs through to patients who need them. So I think we can expect that the incoming head for CIBER, the division, so the one that handles biologics, will probably share these same priorities. So it's been a dizzying episode, and so we'll stay tuned to see what happens further with the FDA.
Jay, going back to the Sarepta trial, is it clear what led to the deaths in these two patients and then the third that you mentioned as well? Or is it not clear and that's why they wanted to pause shipments?
Yeah, so that's a really important question. So these two patient deaths were in teenage boys and it was linked to acute liver failure. So this is a powerful viral gene therapy that can cause, basically a liver failure in these patients. So it's a very important to handle the post-mark or the post-treatment with immunosuppressive regimens to help these patients tolerate it. So what we've seen is in these older patients, they may have a higher total dose, right? Because it's done by per kilogram basis. So these are larger patients, but they may be more susceptible to these kinds of outcomes. So they asked, let's do some more monitoring and figure out how to move forward and making sure that we can have a more safer regimen for these patients. This is different from the ambulatory patients. So these are younger patients that can walk. So we didn't see a patient death that was linked to the geron therapy in these patients.
Got it. And zooming out, do you think, because you mentioned AI drug discovery, do you think that you can embed AI into the process of clinical trials as well? As in maybe you can also simulate some of this using AI large language models to be able to not have this get to human trials before, more of these avenues are explored so you don't have potential patient deaths?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's lots that you can do to leverage, and they've been vocal about how can we leverage these tools to improve success in clinical trials, as you highlight. How can we make sure that we have the right fit for the therapy to the right patients? So there's lots of ways that both on the industry side that they're looking for how to leverage AI to improve that process, and both on the industry, on the agency side, looking about how can they improve their own processing, how can we streamline the regulatory pathway and better design the clinical trials, better select patient biomarkers. So there's lots of different ways and different avenues to approach this so that we can potentially have a better success rate so we get the right drugs to the right patients and in a faster process.
And then Shay, maybe zooming out and away from the story itself, because we have you on for the first time, it would be great to get your kind of maybe long-term take and what you're most excited for within the areas that you're focused on from a research standpoint. Like, what is one area that maybe we haven't talked about enough or has been overlooked that you're starting to do more and more research on?
Well, I guess if I can break it out into two ways. If we think about just on the concept of kind of what we were talking about before with the FDA, I think there's a lot to be excited here about in terms of what the rhetoric has been in terms of what they want to do to improve the FDA and being an ally to innovation. Such as commentary about improving rare disease therapies at the first sign of promise. A lot of these patients that have rare diseases don't have any meaningful disease modifying option. So to get drugs to these patients sooner is really important. Early intervention is really important. If you think more about in terms of, the broader view in terms of developments and the different kinds of biologics or drugs that are coming through in the space, there's lots of exciting developments in therapeutics. I think one thing that we're seeing that's going to become more important and meaningful over time is this idea that, thinking of the context here of gene therapies, the idea that we can do gene editing not just for rare diseases, but potentially for very common broad diseases. And I think that's going to be really transformative. So we've already seen the proof of concept here in rare diseases. I think we're going to see it very soon for very common diseases, including things like cardiovascular disease.
Mm. And what companies are working on the common disease problem with gene therapies?
Yeah, I can highlight one key example actually that we're focused around, and that's CRISPR Therapeutics. So they're developing gene editing therapies that can address just this, right? Moving from not just, success in rare diseases, but also very common conditions such as cardiovascular disease by targeting genes that play a very important role in liver metabolism. So I think we're going to see something very soon. We've already seen very encouraging proof of concept phase one data, and I think we'll see more to come.
Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. Sam, anything else on your end?
No, and thank you for taking over there. My internet is quite jumpy today, which isn't great. Oh, now I'm good. That's great.
Yeah.
I think that covers it. It's like, is it correct to distill that the FDA is willing? It's like really, this was a move to keep innovation going forward, and that he was seen as a potential obstacle to that, or is that too explicit?
Well, I think it's a little bit speculation, right? So we don't know. We haven't actually been behind the full closed doors. And the way that they have communicated themselves is that he didn't want to be a distraction under the Trump administration and has decided to return back to California. Commentary around, you know, a pretty hard commute. So I think, you know, I don't know that we're going to ever get the real full picture. But I think one thing's for sure that we can see that this, that there's this drama that we saw here with Sarepta Therapeutics around their gene therapy. And it's possible that this provided an inflection point, you know, maybe from the political standpoint as well. But I think, you know, what we've heard here is very consistent messaging from this new FDA, if you will, about really wanting to facilitate innovation. And I think that's going to continue. I think that's the key thing.
Yeah, I mean, it really does seem like no one wants to catch a falling knife, and genomics broadly has been, you know, the knife that has been falling. But it's like more and more the things that we're hearing, the alignment from the regulatory side, which is a big piece of the story beyond just the science, is starting to align. And so, you know, I think it would be a mistake for people to assume that the knife hits the floor, right? It's like it's becoming more and more exciting as it gets lower and lower, and it's been low for so long. You know, everything does seem to be aligning in a very exciting way at this point in time.
Yeah, I fully agree. It's a complex area, right? These are very complex products that are being developed and pushed through, but they're really, really important. These are things that can be life-saving for people. So we really want to, you know, really hoping for, and we're seeing lots of elements coming into place, whether it's the FDA really trying to say, how can we improve this process from our own standpoint? All these transformative aspects in terms of drug development, how do we incorporate things like AI to better improve the process? And they're all kind of coming into place now. So I think we're at a really exciting inflection point.
Shay, I have one last question / statement that I'd love to get your take on. And I think it boils down to what you're both saying, which is why now? Why get excited about genomics now? And do you think it's fair to say that the reason it's, you know, we're at this inflection point is because of the advances we're seeing with AI and how you can apply that to a very complex industry that needs potentially personalization down to the individual to be able to combat these rare diseases with gene editing tools? Is that, you know, something that you think is really the big unlock here and why to be very excited about genomics now versus maybe prior years where we didn't have this technology?
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head, Nick. I think it's really hard to understate the importance here. We are opening avenues of things that were completely previously impossible. You know, you could put all the scientists to work on a problem, and we're starting to reach a point where we can surpass what was previously possible. And I think it's just going to continue to accelerate, right? I think we all can appreciate that. So what we could achieve in terms of better designing targets that you may have for a particular disorder, being able to find ways to go through preclinical studies faster. Maybe you don't always need to have animal models, for example. Being able to better design a clinical trial to better have a rigorous testing. I think there's just so many different elements we're going to see that come into play. That's going to be really important.
Wow. Well, exciting times. Mm-hmm. Exciting times. Well, Shay, thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure, and hopefully we'll have you back soon.
The first of many. You've made a great early entrance as explainable genomics. So
perfect. Yeah, my pleasure. So happy to come back on whenever.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Shay.
Thanks so much.
ARK Investment Management, LLC, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other. And therefore, ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.